A65. Number 11B.
All right. So we'll consider first on the level of divine science how we could express the word. And you see that the biblical symbol that we could always take and on which we could always somehow rely is that the word usually is always expressed as the Father, and then the Christ as the Son, the Christianity as that all-inclusive motherhood sense, as the Mother. And what science does is always to take those three together and consider them as a one unit, the triune person God, which would therefore be Father, Son, and Mother. But that is a biblical symbol, and biblical symbols are never so exact and so instructive as abstract ideas. So instead of having in the word Father, we have there three other connotations, like self-existence, infinite light, infinite individuality. Another little side note to understand the survey. If we have always in each box, at each point of intersection, three terms, that does not mean that there is any value in the three. It just was for the purpose of making things simple, that instead of having 10 expressions in a box and not be able to print it, because you would have to use too small a print and nobody would be able to read it anymore, I reduced every box just to three ideas, not because there are only three, there can be many more, but it makes the whole survey more simple, and we have a much better overview on this subject. So you will remember there is no value in those three, in the 1, 2, 3. It's only that we begin to see the ideas. Now, could you see why these expressions, self-existence, for instance, infinite light, infinite individuality, are expressing the word in divine science? How would you reason that out? You would reason first, what is the level of divine science? And therefore you would ask that all these terms would have a divine science connotation, tonality. Do they have it? Do they have it? How would you see self-existence? Yeah. Why is that divine science? Why is it not absolute Christian science or Christian science?
All inclusive. It applies to all. It's not limited in any sense.
Yes?
Which would be the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
No divisibility.
No divisibility itself. Huh? That term self expresses that it is by itself, that it is within itself. You have the infinite withinness in divine science, the all-inclusiveness, huh? So that the existence is within the world. Huh? Yes. How could you otherwise explain that that has the tonality of divine science?
The oneness of principle and idea.
Exactly, huh? Exactly. See, it doesn't show something as a cause from which there will be an effect. You see, the moment you have that there is a cause from which there will be an effect, you have either absolute Christian Science or Christian Science. But when you consider it as one, principle and idea one, then it is an existence that is a self-existence. It is an existence that gives, like a creator, existence to something. Yeah? So, can you hear, when you have the tonality of the levels, this it rings within you and it rings true, and you can just spot it, though outwardly you wouldn't see really that this has to do with divine science. What about the next one, infinite light? Has that tonality of divine science?
It's self-illuminated, it has no outside source of illumination.
No, outside illumination, it does not illumine anything. Both not, you see. It does not illumine anything. It is not shown as the light that comes to the darkness. You see, if it would be the light that shines in darkness, then it would be on which level?
Christian Science.
Christian Science. And if I would say, let there be light,
absolute Christian Science.
Can you see, you can have, therefore, a term like light, and you have to be very careful that you don't say, well, light is this or that. Huh? Light, according to how the context runs, that light can be used as a symbol for all three levels. For all three levels, can be either divine science, when we see all is light and there is nothing but light, and light is infinite light, and in thy light I see light, then it is only light. So it is all inclusive, it's again, there is it's not said from where the light comes, nor is it said what the light will lighten up, nor is it said what darkness that light will scatter. Just infinite light. That's divine science. Whereas, we don't have to spend too much other time on it. What about infinite individuality? Why is that divine science? It's just one, huh? The oneness, it is in the singular. It says individuality is a nature in being, that being itself is individual. But because it is an infinite, it is a one, and therefore indicates at once the level of divine science. Please tell me when something is not clear, because that's the reason why we are here. I mean, all the rest is in the book. But we have to think out things now clearly, because when you write a book about, when one writes a book about this, one can't do that what we do now, because the book would be, 20,000 pages instead of 200 pages, and who can afford to read it and to print it? Both is not possible. So we have to use our syllabus class, seminar type, to know what is behind those terms. All right. Now, you would have declared to be why it is on the level of divine science. Now, you would also have to show why it is the Word and not the Christ or Christianity or science. So you have to go over it again and say, well, why is self-existence the Word?
Christ actually starts a movement that the Word doesn't start. It lacks expression.
Yes.
Expression to become Christ.
Yes. That would be the word, huh? It would be the starting point, so to say, from where the whole operation then comes from. So there must first be something that is, huh? Before there is an expression or an operation, you must first have something that is to be operated, that is to be expressed. So the word is always that self-declaration which just first declares what is. Huh? So it is the self-existence. It's very clear here. Huh? It is existence from the point of view of word, and it's self-existence from the point of view of divine science. Can you see the point of intersection? Yes? Quite sure. Okay. What about infinite light? We said that is a sense, an atmosphere of divine science. Why is it the Word? Why not the Christ? Why not Christianity?
Well, light is an essential condition.
Yes. Again, you seem to go back to the fundamental question. There must be first something to be there before anything is going to happen. So you said it's a condition. What
is it?
The essential condition for it, that there is infinite light, that there is light. Because only then something can happen. What about infinite individuality? Again, we said this has a touch of divine science, but why divine science as the word?
Indivisible?
It is indivisible, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But that may not be the very core of the word. Huh? Must have a touch of the word. Huh?
Says, what is it that is self-declaring?
Yes.
It's an individuality. It's the one individuality declaring its own existence.
Yeah. Again, you have the same as what Bill usually calls, falls back. There must be something there. What is there? There is existence there, but that existence is what kind of existence? Huh? It's an infinite individuality. Huh? It's not just an amorphous mass of something. So the word declares itself and says, I'm not just an undefined and an undefined mass. I'm not just a mass that has no outline, no gestalt, no form, nor individuality, and things like that. No, I'm a one, an infinite one, but that infinite one is an infinite individuality, not just a number one. It's an infinite individuality. So as to say, that existence, that self-existence, which from which we go out, is actually an existence that has an infinite individuality, an infinite variety within itself.
Huh? Is it divisible?
No, just an infinite individuality, huh? That it is not just one single mass, single amorphous mass, huh? Just as usually one considers God, just God, as an undefined big thing, as if it would be just a big block of something, huh? Whereas we would have to think about the Word of God in divine science as an infinite individuality. All right, you can, yeah. You like that indivisibility, huh? The undividedness. That's all right, you know, but it does not really show that within that one there is an infinite very variety, an infinite multifarious variety of being. Huh? Yes. Okay. So you could see for yourself that somehow these terms, when you try to see what is their meaning, you begin to see that they symbolize really the Word in divine science. Now let's go to the Christ in divine science. There we have the self-operation as the Christ, which now on the level of divine science is seen as self-expression, as the ideal, as truth itself. That's how John Dolly called it usually. The Christ in divine science is truth itself. Now again, we could ask ourselves, why are these three on the level of divine science? You take self-expression. Why is that divine science? Yes?
Being expressing itself.
Yes, you would say it is again that self. It is not showing that being expresses itself as this and that and the other form, or this and that and the other experience. It is an expression within the self. And the moment you have that within the sense, the all-embracing sense, the sense of space, of one great ego, of self, then you always have divine science, because you have that oneness of being. So I have a very wonderful sense here first. Now we can ask right away, and what is the Christ in this self-expression? In that term, self-expression, why is it the Christ? Why is it not the Word? Yeah. You see, we had self-existence as the Word. Now, the operation of it is the self-expression. Here you get now the Christ activity, the self-expression. So it isn't just expressing itself, because we could say, well, it expresses itself in ideas, or it expresses itself in healing, or things like that. It is the self-expression, showing really the tonality of divine science as the Christ. Yes?
It's the Word on the move.
It's the Word on the move, huh? Yeah, that's the expression. But it is on divine signs only then when it is self-moving, moving itself, self-expression. What about ideal? This is perhaps a bit a more difficult term. Why is ideal divine signs?
Because anything that would be the reverse of ideal is excluded, on the divine signs level. It can't even be implied that there would be less than the ideal
on the
science level.
Yes. What does an ideal mean? What does ideal mean?
Meeting the highest standard.
Meeting the highest standard, yeah. Yes.
The standard of truth.
The standard of truth, yes.
It's self-contained.
It's self contained, that is, the ideal contains within itself all that which is necessary to be a whole. It has also a sense of wholeness is implied by ideal, and the moment you have always the wholeness of something on the highest level, you get divine science. So it is indicating again that really the Christ here is that ideal, where we see that God includes all that is God wants to express. It's always a whole expression. That's the ideal, that it has, that it doesn't lack anything, that there is everything is there to make up a whole. Yes?
Advanced algebra, there are things called ideals, which are number systems in which all equations have answers.
Yes.
The number system is broad enough to include for all kinds of situations, but they do call them ideals, curiously enough.
Yes, yes. So that again would indicating that it is an inclusive sense. You also say, well, that's an ideal situation, or the when do you say a situation is when you feel that every aspect of what belongs to a situation is fulfilled, huh? Is there, is included. Huh? A situation may be all right, but not quite ideal. But when it is ideal, you feel that every aspect of that situation has been taken care of. So it's whole. And I think, as you say, in mathematics, it is one has these ideal theorems or whatever they...
Ideal, they're number systems.
Well, because they lend themselves for every calculation.
Certain equations, the first one you meet up with, the x squared equals minus 2. Another number 1 multiplied by itself will give minus 2. These, in the natural terms, in the way we count, but in an ideal system, there we extend it to so-called imaginary numbers, and there are even more complicated expressions that can be involved in normal numbers. And these will be included in an ideal.
Yeah. And see that it gives somehow a sense of inclusiveness, huh? Of all that is necessary. Yeah, all right, as we are not a really good mathematician as you are, perhaps we go on to truth itself. You know how Mrs. Edison often uses the rendering Christ, comma, truth, huh? As if she would put Christ and truth as synonymous terms. And this is so on the level of divine science. It's not so much the case on the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science, because on those levels, truth is doing something too. Whereas here, it's truth itself, huh? It's truth as such, we could also call it. Huh? So that it means, just as we always have in divine science, that everything is out of itself, through itself, as itself, and to itself. It's just within itself, operating within itself. So truth itself is a very fine expression for the Christ in divine science. Again, actually, what I said yesterday, we are talking about terms and the letter of the system. We try to get a clear letter of the system, but we can never, in a seminar, can never really give the whole spirit of what is implied with it, because that spirit is something that the individual has to culture. And that the teacher, with all his words that he can speak, can never really convey. Because when I want to really feel what is the Christ in divine science, I really have to be quiet. I have to shut up. Because I can't express it in terms. I begin to get a feel about it. Not an indefinite feel like the feeling business, but a very scientific feel and definite feel what that means, that in divine science, therefore in that whole realm where we contemplate just the oneness of being, that in that oneness of being is a Christ, namely truth itself. Not truth working out something, huh? But truth being to itself truth. That is the truth itself. Huh? And you have to be quiet and still within your consciousness. You have to go into the closet in the sixth prayer and pray about it. That is, have an attitude of receptivity to listen to God and just to shut out everything that tries to disturb us, and just be quiet until you get the touch. My golly, Yes, that is really the thing. That if I stay on the level of divine science, if I stay really with the synonymous term and see that nothing is going on but the synonymous term operating as what they are, I begin to feel that's the Christ. That's the Christ. That operation of the synonymous term. And that's the truth itself. It's the... See, truth, it's... I'm sorry, you know, human language is inadequate. I cannot tell it what it is, but I can only approximate it. You see, it's that scientific feel that you get after you have established the word in divine science, that you have a sense. Now you have touched reality at that point where you begin to feel and see and understand and be sure and be certain that the facts of being, the truth of being itself, is not just a statement, but is the activity of truth bringing out itself as truth, showing itself forth, demonstrating itself not as healing, not as a new idea, but as the truth of everything. Capital T. Well, just pray about it. That's the only thing we can do.
It's a realm sense. It's where we live, isn't it?
It's also a realm sense, so that you see, in that whole realm, there is just truth. And that truth, as the Christ, as a Christ, is not the saving truth. It's the divine idea.
Where we live.
And therefore, in that whole realm, the divine idea, the right idea, as Mr. Zeddy calls the Christ, he calls the Christ the divine idea of God, is constantly operating to demonstrate truth, not to demonstrate the healing.